This is Andrew Cate.
And this is Ryan Capuano.
And welcome to another edition of the Death of Cinema podcast. In this week's episode, Steven Spielberg gives your mom and dad their favorite movie of the year with The Post, while Margot Robbie becomes Tonya Harding for I, Tonya.
And we are going to start with Steven Spielberg's latest magnum opus, In the Post, which is the story of how the Washington Post went to publish these classified documents detailing what was actually happening on the ground during the Vietnam War, and how our government was kind of complicit in the cover-up of what was actually going on. And, you know, this is just Spielberg being Spielberg, basically. Your tolerance for this kind of material will depend on you know, how much of a history or political buff you are, of which I am very much so. So I enjoyed this quite a bit, even if it's just kind of, you know, one of those breezy surface level, kind of in the same vein of Bridge of Spies from a few years ago, which I also liked, but at least I had a Coen Brothers backing to help him out. And I think the cast is fine here. I know Meryl Streep was nominated for an Oscar yesterday for this. I think this is one of her better performances as of late, just because it's a lot more restrained and less histrionic than she usually has been. Tom Hanks, I don't know what the hell was going on with that performance, but it was they're given a lot of like rat-a-tat, almost Aaron Sorkin light style dialogue, which is fine, and it works in the context of this movie, and it is a fascinating true life tale. But again, I am a major history buff. I went through all of Ken Burns' The Vietnam War recently, so a lot of this is still fresh in my mind. I saw The Fog of War, which is about Robert McNamara, who is portrayed in this film by Bruce Greenwood, who also happened to portray another person in the Kennedy administration in JFK. God, that was almost 20 years ago now. But it is very interesting to me how this is, there's a lot of winking at the camera and alluding to these, you know, freedom of the press parallels that are still playing out today. And honestly, that it's a little eye-rolling, but it is a necessary trope to play into. I think they would have been remiss if they didn't in some spots. But overall, this is, as Andrew said in the beginning, this is basically one of those middle-brow Oscar contenders that inexplicably gets in for Best Picture, even if it's perfectly fine and highly entertaining.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny you bring up Aaron Sorkin, because I didn't really think about it beforehand, but obviously coming fresh off of Molly's Game, which we both quite liked or whatever, I feel like this film would have been better with, honestly, after seeing that with him, with his writing or something like that. Honestly, to me, this film is pretty much, you know, my main frustration with modern-day Spielberg films. You know, they feel like the work of certainly a master craftsman, but they're, to me, I like them, they're good, but what else is there to them? And I mentioned to you before we started recording that, you know, this time of year, we're seeing lots of really interesting sort of artistic visions. And to me, like, I feel like a lot of modern Spielberg films are just lacking that depth that I want from this. Like, to me, like, don't get me wrong, I was entertained by it and I liked it. I don't want to sound too negative, but I feel like I have to share my criticisms of it because I don't really have much to say other than, oh, it's good. You know, like, and like, to me, it feels like almost a greatest hits version of this period of time where we see like minor moments in this period of time, but none of them are explored greatly in depth. You know, we don't really learn too much about any of the characters. Although I thought Meryl Streep was quite good, in particular. Although one of my other frustrations with this movie is that there are so many great actors in this cast, and I feel like most of them are completely wasted. One in particular who I'm a big fan of, Carrie Coon, who in my opinion is one of the best actors on the planet. If you haven't seen HBO's The Leftovers, you need to, and you'll understand why I say that. But she is a really fantastic actress, and she's just subjected to, like, she has like that one reveal at the end where she reveals the results of the court case and stuff like that, but there's literally not much else to it. I did think Bob Odenkirk was fun in his role or whatever, just a simple role but used effectively. But like I said, you know, Spielberg knows what he's doing, and you could see how well choreographed a lot of the shots are and stuff like that, and he's clearly interested in the subject. But to me, it is that, you know, movie that's made for this, you know, middle-aged or elderly crowd that doesn't really do anything particularly overly artistic with it, or at least explore these things in depth, which I would have enjoyed. Like, it's an enjoyable film, and I liked it, but I just don't think it's anything more than that. And I guess that's my frustration, especially when it's hyped up as an award season-worthy film. You know, I just think it's good, and I just think it pales in comparison to a lot of the other films being released currently at this time of year.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair enough. But I just think the biggest strength of the film is, and you know, like I said, there is a bit of winking at the camera, but a lot of it is still drawing parallels to what's going on today, and not just with the freedom of the press, but also, you know, with women's empowerment. Meryl Streep obviously being completely undermined as the head of the Washington Post simply because she's a woman. It's a bit on the nose, but I mean, how else could you have played that? And obviously there are very brief allusions to the fact that, you know, we're sending people off to these countries and dying. It's very similar to what's been going on in the Middle East for the past two decades. So I guess on, you know, for my left wing heart, it checked off the right boxes in some parts. And, you know, there's also, they allude to how in one part of how, you know, the boys coming home and having seen what they've seen. And, you know, we've only recently begun understanding PTSD with what's been going on in Afghanistan. So I think there are some nice little touches. It certainly does not go into depth in any of the characters, with the exception of Meryl Streep. And that's fine. And she gets a good payoff at the end. But really, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, it serves as a reminder of what a complete mess that whole thing was. And that might not necessarily be something that screams Oscar, but overall, at least it's mildly entertaining. But I know, Andrew, you want to address one particular moment about the theater going experience with this.
Well, yes, obviously I alluded to, and you alluded to, the fact that it's, you know, made for your mom and dad's favorite movie, as we sort of tongue-in-cheekly stated at the opening of this podcast. You know, at the end of the film, like, this is my frustration with it. You know, I see just masterful artistic films, and people at the end are just like, well, don't know how to react. And then at the end of the post, all the elderly middle-aged people are clapping like it's some major accomplishment. And that, to me, is why I feel like I have to criticize it and some of my major frustration, because there are these masterful works of art out there in the theater right now, and people are clapping over this, you know, well-made, well-crafted film that doesn't, for me, fully explore those themes that you brought up. Like, these themes are relevant, and we talked about this a bit in All the Money in the World. Now, I will say, the post is much better than All the Money in the World, no doubt about it. But the thing, I think it has a similar issue, where it has themes that are very relevant to today, and I think the Meryl Streep, you know, female empowerment thing, I think that was handled well. But just to me, you know, the journalistic aspect of it, it's there, but is it ever really, you know, touched on, you know, in depth or explored fully? I don't think so. And that's my frustration, as I said, with a lot of modern Spielberg, where he brings up these themes that are clearly close to his heart, but he just sort of breezes them over and makes it just sort of a breezy, entertaining film. And that's fine, and I understand the appeal of these types of films. I understand why people like them. And I will say, I liked this film, but it's just, I just don't think it's anything more than that. And I think, like, propping it up as this major, you know, award season Oscar contender, I mean, I'm not shocked by it, because it does check those boxes of the relevance. And then we've got Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, and I guess I didn't mind Tom Hanks' performance, but it was just sort of there. And that's why when people were like, oh, he was snubbed from Oscar nominations, I was like, what? Look, it's Tom Hanks, but it doesn't mean we have to give him every single award. I mean, he was robbed for Captain Phillips a few years back, no doubt about it, but that was a much more emotional, sort of relevant, I thought, performance, whereas here he's just sort of there as Ben Bradley or whatever. But overall, you know, I liked the film, but just to me, I, as you can tell, I'm just sort of frustrated just with, you know, these types of movies getting this, in my opinion, overly, you know, sort of unearned praise. Although, like I said, Spielberg, master of his craft, it's good, well made, but I just don't think it's anything more than that.
And, you know, it's, obviously we can transition into this larger topic then of the best picture field, when it was expanded from 5 to 10 nominees, and then they instituted the rule that anything from 5 to 10 could, you know, you could get 5, or you could get anywhere in between that and 10. And the field of 9 that was revealed yesterday for best picture included The Post, and it was the only other Oscar it was nominated for was best actress. So I'm wondering what carried this film, like what moved people so much, or entertained people so much that they felt compelled to put this as a number one on their ballots, which I can understand from a crafts perspective. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of goodwill built up for Janusz Kaminski in the cinematographer's branch, the actor's branch, obviously basically everyone in SAG-AFTRA is in this film, but it's just I don't understand how it still squeaks in enough when they say that, yes, Meryl Streep was quite good, and that is enough to propel the film to Best Picture, or is it just the goodwill from Spielberg? But I shouldn't really complain too much, because I think overall the field of nominations yesterday was very strong, with a very pleasant surprise of the Phantom Thread, no, at the beginning, showing up in Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Costume Design, and Best Original Score. As a huge P.T. Anderson and Radiohead fan, I was overjoyed at this. I will even give credit to the visual effects branch going out for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Kong Skull Island, two films I wasn't super crazy about, but I really admired what they were doing visually. Overall, I really have not a hell of a lot to complain about. Maybe it's sound mixing and sound editing, picking the exact same films, maybe certain films being shut out almost completely because I never got going on the award circuit in the first place, but overall, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I was definitely got to echo those sentiments about Phantom Thread. Obviously, most people who know me know I'm a bit obsessed with Paul Thomas Anderson, and the fact that he got nominated for Best Director was just a complete shock to me because he was not really on any pundit's list, and I think people talked about how a lot of voters, how the last film they saw, you know, before submitting their ballots was Phantom Thread, and that clearly had an effect. But I was very pleasantly surprised to see him Best Picture, Best Director. I will say I was completely shocked by that Leslie Manville got nominated. Don't get me wrong, she is very good in the film, but I almost felt like, I'll be honest, I'm surprised that type of performance got recognized because, you know, I feel like some people would be like, oh, is there a lot there? There is. It's just, you know, it's just sort of there, sort of bubbling under the surface. And I think it's the type of performance that should be looked at and awarded definitely more so. I do have a few complaints, like, you know, the Florida Project being overlooked majorly, you know, for Best Picture and stuff. I always assumed that it would kind of squeak in there. It's unfortunate that a filmmaker like Sean Baker, the quality of him, that he wasn't recognized further. But overall, and like you, you know, it's rare, but I don't have too much to complain about. Obviously, we'll get to our best of episode in a few episodes coming up here, but and you'll see some picks that weren't recognized here that we definitely feel should have been. But overall, in terms of the Oscar nominations, it's not one of those days where I'm like completely enraged, and I have to admit a lot of that is due to, oh my god, Paul Thomas Anderson was nominated for Best Director, who cares about anything else?
That Leslie Manville nomination really came out of nowhere. I was not expecting it in the least bit, especially after she was snubbed for Mike Leigh's Another Year back in 2010. But she is one of the best actresses on the planet right now, and I was super happy to see her show up and finally get some recognition in the stateside. But I think with that, we can transition to another Academy Award nominated film, based on a true story. This one's slightly better, though.
Yeah, Tanya, I'm very interested to hear what you think, because I saw this film a couple weeks back now, so I have to admit some of my thoughts aren't as completely fresh as they need to be. But my first impression of I, Tanya, directed by Craig Gillespie, who's one of the more, I'd say, like, he's made a few films that I feel like are particularly underrated. I remember really enjoying Lars and the Real Girl when it came out, although I don't know how well it's aged, because I remember catching a few scenes like on TV a few years after the fact, and I was like, oh, maybe this film isn't as good. But hey, I'm not going to drag him through the mud, because I really enjoyed I, Tanya. I thought it was really entertaining, particularly with the central performance from Margot Robbie, who I think is really fantastic as Tanya Harding. Obviously, it's a very interesting take on it, as it's certainly, I wouldn't say it's traditional in any sense, where like the first, you know, text we see on screen is that this film is based on, you know, conflicting accounts from both Tanya Harding and Jeff Galooly, her obviously conspirator in this. But what I think is really interesting about the film is it doesn't really ever completely particularly choose a side in terms of, you know, and it presents these conflicting reports of what actually happened, you know, in very interesting ways. Obviously, there's the one element where there's the interviews with the actors playing the characters directly to the camera, and then there's also some very more extreme instances where they're in the middle of a scene and like the character, something's happening, and the characters turn to the camera and is like, this did not happen, you know. It's sort of playing against those Jeff Galooly versus Tanya Harding sort of stories. And I thought it was really effectively handled. Margot Robbie, as I said, really fantastic. I was also impressed by Sebastian Stan, who typically, you know, who we don't really see much outside of, you know, being the Winter Soldier and all those major Marvel superhero films. And I thought it was fun to see him in a different type of role, definitely a more difficult role. I also want to give a shout out to the guy who played his friend. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's the chubby friend who I thought played completely delusional and just like has no clue of what reality is. I thought he played it really, really well. I thought it was really effectively handled. And I thought it was really interesting how they handled these very sort of serious issues, but with a sort of tongue-in-cheek manner. And I'm sure some people didn't completely respond to that element of it, but, you know, I think it's really interesting and a very sort of a high-wire act to accomplish. I thought it was really effectively handled. But there is one thing I want to mention that I think is by far one of the most overrated things this award season, which is the performance by Allison Janney as Tonya Harding's mother. Now, I will say the performance is, you know, I'm not saying it's bad, but what I'm saying is it's basically that performance where they have these quirky one-liners to spout, you know, about, oh, the, or being like a terrible mother. And it's not much more than that. And that's why I'm sort of frustrated that it's getting all this praise when there's much more better performances nominated or lived in, like Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird, which is a really emotionally resonant performance. I don't know. To me, I don't know if Allison Janney is just that type of actress that I don't really get the love for, because I've seen her in other things that I haven't really gotten the love for her either. But I mean, then again, I haven't seen all of her performance. I believe, you know, most of her praise stems from The West Wing, which I haven't seen, so I can't speak to that. But overall, I really enjoyed the film. But I don't know, the Allison Janney performance, I don't know, it just bugs me a bit. Like I said, it's not bad, but it's just that quirky spouting one-liners performance that I don't understand why it's getting all this awards recognition.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, and I'll get to my thoughts on the film overall, but I wanted to address Allison Janney first, because it's a perfectly fine in the way it's played. I think this is it's a very broad caricature of a performance. It's not, I think maybe a different actress might have brought a little bit more nuance to it that might have humanized this monster a little bit more. And you know, maybe she really was just that unpleasant and ornery and abusive. It's really, I mean, this is one of the most unpleasant experiences I've had watching a movie because it is just so dark and depressing. I remember thinking to myself multiple times, I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. But so that it took some time getting adjusted to the tone and the rhythms of the film, and you know, the framing devices of breaking the fourth wall, the pseudo interviews, that kind of thing. But overall, it was, I ended up being really engrossed by the story. And you know, it's basically Margot Robbie is fantastic in this, and it's really just like there are some really disturbing and disgusting scenes where her husband is just beating her mercilessly, and that kept coming back to it, and it ends up being this really potent indictment on what's going on, what went on with the media back then. And there's, you know, kind of holding up the mirror to the audience and saying, you know, you are complicit in this. If you're horrified by this, why did you turn me into a punchline? This is bullshit. I was a 23-year-old kid who was getting the shit kicked out of her, and her mother was horrendously abusive, and she just got dragged along as a punchline, even though she was one of the best athletes in the world at one point. And I think that obviously Margot Robbie's performance minds a lot of that, but I think credit is due to the screenplay and the directing for treating Tonya with empathy. And I think that's something that's been lacking in this, and that in this whole fiasco from 1994, and with the Winter Olympics looming in just a couple weeks for us too, it's actually fresh on the mind. But it's a very good film, but it was jarring at points. But I think that did end up working in its favor, and it is carried almost entirely on the strength of Margot Robbie. And that's not to say that anything else is bad. It's just that she's that good.
Yeah, and I love what you brought up about how, you know, it's sort of, like, I love that moment in the film where Tonya directly almost addresses the audience and like, you're part of the problem, you're why this famous Olympics incident is so, you know, famous and why I'm viewed a certain way. And that's what, like, I saw some people say, like, come on, and say, oh, the film is glorizing Tonya Harding. I don't think it is at all. I think it presents a very complicated portrait of this person's life. And like I said, it presents these differing perspectives on these events, so you can sort of choose or to go in one direction over the other, or you can accept it as, you know, we'll never, perhaps never exactly know the exact truth to it. But like you said, it was a very empathetic portrayal, and I thought Margot Robbie really made that clear and hit it home. But you know, it's just a really tough, and I thought it was funny you said, you know, very dark and depressing, and I like sort of started out, but like I was highly entertained by it, and it is both of those things. It is dark and depressing, and I was highly entertained by it, because like I said, it's sort of this high wire act. It's a very difficult thing for both presenting these different perspectives, utilizing these different tools of actors directly addressing the audience, stuff like that, very complicated things. But I think overall it ends up working really well in terms of an overall experience. And I was really very pleasantly surprised by the film overall, particularly by, you know, the ensemble of characters, obviously particularly Margot Robbie, but like I said, you know, some really interesting weird types of characters that you don't typically see sort of presented on film. And I thought that was really interesting. It's like you're getting a window into this world that I'm sure some people may have some experiences like this or can can relate to on some level. I definitely am not of this world or whatever, but I thought it was really interesting. Like, even something as simple as the relationship Tonya Harding had with her coach or whatever, I thought that was really simply handled and not overly done, or, you know, not to, you know, any histrionics or anything, but it was just handled perfectly well, you know, in the terms of, you know, there's both, you know, Tonya is certainly not a character to mince words at certain times, and she just comes out and says very vulgar things, and she sort of flips on a dime from one moment to the next. And I think it was very interesting to see a central character who was so revered in the public eye and then completely sort of discarded, you know, in this very complicated nature. I thought it was very interesting how they chose to end the film with, you know, showing us something that was past, you know, her figure skating future. And it was almost like you do really get that empathetic portrayal and feel some sympathy for the character. And I think it's really interesting because of that, because it sort of doesn't present these things in a way that, oh, you've necessarily seen before. It presents it in a complicated nature, and the director ultimately leaves it up to you to determine sort of how you feel about it and how you feel about these characters.
Yeah, and it is a high wire of an act on a technical standpoint. From a technical standpoint as well, there are a lot of shifting timelines, switching back and forth between perspectives and between characters. You know, even Allison Janney's character at one point cracks a joke that, oh man, my storyline's fallen off now because we haven't been with her for the past 20 minutes or so. So I think that the editor or editors on this film really, they pulled off a miracle as far as I'm concerned, and they kept it what could have been a jumbled mess at a really fast pace. And it's also obviously very difficult material for a few reasons, so I think a lot of credit is deserved there. There is one thing that usually bothers me about about movies, but didn't necessarily with this film, especially because of what was the choice made in the final credit scene, wherein directors who use very obvious rock songs for their score, rock songs for their score instead of going with a some kind of orchestra from a composer or something like that. In this film, I was a little weary when, you know, they had Bad Company but I think when it ended with Susie and the Banshees cover of Iggy Pop's The Passenger, I think that was the absolute perfect song from a tonal perspective, from a character perspective. I think that really kind of, you know, to borrow a phrase from figure skating, it really stuck the landing. I think it was really effective, and that's something that, you know, I've seen guys like Ridley Scott fall down on their face doing before. So I think that's something worth pointing out. But overall, this is an incredibly difficult film to watch at times, but I think it is worth trudging through just to see how good it actually, the final result is, and to maybe learn something, you know, about how we treat, and I think this is something that a lot of people look over. People in the media are often, you know, they're untouchable. There's that anonymity between you and them because of television, because of the internet, and we forget that there are human beings at the center of these travesties and tragedies. So I think that this really, I was heartened to see that they're treating something so shitty with so much empathy, and I hope that's something that at least some people can take away from that.
Yeah, I completely agree on all those points. Like you mentioned the music, I thought that was like spot on, where like, and almost like it feels like these songs are like sort of a part of Tanya's world and environment. So I thought it really worked, but I completely agree on the empathy, showing empathy for this character as well, and not necessarily passing judgment as, you know, sort of the media and a lot of people necessarily would. But with that in mind, we'll obviously look forward to our next episode, where we'll be reviewing Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread, which obviously we were already talking about a bit with our nominations. I've been chomping at the bit to share my thoughts on this film, so I'm looking forward to that. And also, Call Me By Your Name, another big award season contender that I'm excited to discuss as well.
Will we finally learn how to pronounce Luca Guadagnino? Find out next week.